What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
With every Christmas card I write, may your day be merry and bright, and may all your
Christmases
be white.
There you have it, Bing Crosby, White Christmas. You can't have Christmas without Bing Crosby. You cannot have, only Joe Biden can have Christmas without Christmas, number one, and of course without Bing Crosby, number two. Somebody should send that to our beloved president who opened the nation's Christmas tree without mentioning the word Christmas or baby Jesus or any of those things that we usually associate with Christmas. But I digress. We're going to talk money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore from FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Welcome back, kids. Happy, holy, merry Christmas and New Year. I haven't figured out if I'm going to do this next Saturday. I got to figure that out yet. You'll be the first to know. Anyway, Liz Peek, I got this message from you. The more you see of the omnibus, the less you like it, which really sent a chill down my spine. I mean, let's talk omnibus just for a few moments. It's so much fun, really.
I'm just appalled. And I think all Americans are just appalled. You know, Elon Musk did one of these random unsophisticated surveys on Twitter of should they pass it, and the answer was a resounding no, because what people have heard about this bill is what Rand Paul said. You know, it's going to be delivered 4,000 pages in the dark of night with minutes to read it. No one will have read it. Stuffed to the gills with all kinds of nonsense that now Senator Paul has come out and enumerated, which is really great because now we know the foolishness that is in this bill. You know, I remember Tom Coburn when he would come out with his annual waste book, and it was just a treasure trove of government stupidity. So here, Larry, the big picture is we should not be spending $1.7 trillion. That's the bottom line. And I don't care what the Republicans got in terms of increased defense spending. Yes, they did get an increase, but the reality is none of it should have gone up. Probably defense. If you looked hard at what they're spending money on and where the money's allocated, and, oh, yes, by the way, they seem to have lost a lot of it, you know, my guess is they didn't need an increase. What they need is more efficient management. What the government needs is more efficient management and a budget. This is not a budget. This is a free-for-all.
Yeah, you know, Steve, Rand Paul, he's a really good guy. Rand Paul started it on the TV show last week, when he said that the GOP senators had given up the power of the purse and were emasculating themselves. That word emasculating went a long way. It went totally viral throughout the internet. But Steve Moore, one point here is, what does this do to Republican credibility? This is what is so concerning. This is supposed to be, what, the free market party, the party of limited government, limited spending, limited taxing, limited regulations, more oil and gas. What exactly is in this omnibus bill that gives the GOP any credibility at all? Well, Steve Moore, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, sorry about that. I was muted. Well, can I say Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays?
Yeah, right.
Am I allowed to do that on the show?
Yes. We've spent quite a bit of time today doing just that. I hope you heard Bing Crosby's White Christmas rendition.
I did. I thought that was you singing there for a minute, Larry. But, yeah, it's not. By the way, I am in Chicago, and we do have a White Christmas here, so it's just a wonderful thing. This does destroy the Republican credibility. You know, it's the stupidity of it, really. I mean, let's even just put aside all the terrible things in it that Liz was just talking about. the political stupidity of this is just monumental. I can't tell you how many people, you know, I was on your show, what, 4 or 5 days ago, we were talking about this. I mean, I just got an avalanche of response from that. People are so angry. And I mean, so angry about this. And people are just disgusted. And they felt like look, the Republicans have one job between now and 2024. Try to advance a pro-economic growth agenda and stop the growth of spending. This isn't complicated, right? Now, why did they do it? Because they wanted $50 billion more for defense. And we could argue about whether that's necessary. I do not. I think we spend plenty of money on our military right now. But, you know, reasonable people can disagree on that. But to get $50 billion more in defense, the Republicans gave up $150 billion for more social program spending when we've already spent $4.2 trillion. All the Republicans have talked about for the last 2 years is how out of control the budget is, and they're right, and this is the first thing they do. So it's bad economics, and it's even worse politics.
Well, and the worst thing is, Larry, all they needed to do was force the government, force Congress into a continuing resolution so that when Republicans take over the House, which everyone worked really hard to allow them to do, then they would be able to rewrite this thing. They, as I get it, the House Republicans had no voice in this bill whatsoever. So what in the world are they kowtowing to what will soon be a minority in allowing this to pass? I really found it shocking.
I can answer your question for you.
Okay.
You know, they wanted the pork.
Yeah.
They really did. That's how shallow these guys are. They wanted to bring home the bacon. There's something like 2,000 special interest, you know, local projects in here. And that's how bad it's become. And you mentioned Tom Coburn. Boy, do we need him back. Because, by the way, before Tom Coburn, do you guys remember Bill Proxmire? Remember
him from
he had the old Golden Fleece Award.
Golden Fleece Award. I remember it well.
Nothing back.
By the way, Mitch McConnell said at one point how important it was that a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House and a Democratic president could all work together with Republicans to pass this omnibus bill. That was a quote. And Molly Hemingway of The Federalist wrote a very good, tough piece. And she basically argued that as long as Mitch McConnell is the Republican Senate leader, the Republicans will never fulfill their principles. That he, as long as he's there, they will never break out of this big spending approach. And you ask yourself, what's the difference between Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Senate? What is exactly the difference? I think voters and donors and others can't figure this out.
Can I just say one thing about this? And I think Mitch McConnell is scarred by ever having had the Republicans shut down the government and taking a lot of heat for it. That's the only explanation I can come up with. And the fact that he really distrusts these handful of Republicans in the House who are balking at making Kevin McCarthy the speaker. It's a group. It's not more than a dozen, but they are really adamant. And I think he doesn't trust them. So I think he wanted to take away from them the leverage that they had. But before we throw McConnell totally under the bus, I always go back to the fact that Merrick Garland would be a Supreme Court justice were it not for Mitch McConnell, and we would not have Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. So whatever else he's done, I do give him some credit for that. But I have to say, his leadership here, he's so anti-Trump that now he's sort of anti-conservative, and I do think it's really hurting the party.
But Liz, as a former Wall Streeter, you remember the phrase, you're only as good as your last trade.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I know. He's lost all his credibility now.
And, you know, Steve, I hope that the GOP House, you know, gets going fast on a good 2024 budget that contains the principles they had in the commitment to America. I mean, otherwise, the Republican Party message just completely falls apart.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a little too late for that. I mean, seriously, I mean, I think people are so disgusted by the giveaway. One point you know, I'll make about Mitch McConnell. And, you know, I've had a love-hate relationship with Mitch McConnell, you know, for 20 years. And there's things to love about him, things to hate. It's too easy to blame Mitch McConnell for this. I mean, my God, you have people like Tom Cotton over this.
Yeah.
And Tom Cotton is supposed to be a, you know, Republican conservative. Many people wanted him to run for president. He can throw that out the window now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were only about 20 Republicans voted with Rand Paul on any of this out of 50. So I think it's too easy. I think there's a real cultural problem in the Senate. It's always been a club, Larry. That's the one thing about the Senate. It is a club. And this was the club. It didn't matter whether they're an R or a D next to their name. By the way, I think virtually every Democrat voted for this. I mean, so the idea that they have any fiscal conservative principles, you know, was washed away, too. But, God, I mean, only 21 Republicans voted for the kind of stuff that that Rand Paul was talking about, which was very sensible stuff. It was just, let's do what we said we were going to do.
Well, how about Chuck Schumer?
He is my man of the year, by the way. Rand Paul is the Republican of the year.
But you know, give Mike Lee some credit.
He was great, too.
He tied everybody up in knots with his amendment to extend Title 42. So, Liz, he had the votes. As he said on the TV show, he said, for 8 glorious minutes, we had the votes to get Title 42 extended, which would have meant omnibus goes down in the House. And then Schumer took over and got Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin to change their votes. Liz, you remember Kyrsten Sinema. She's the new bright light, the newest independent thinker in the Senate. She really stood on principle here. 8 minutes later, gone. Changed her vote.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many post offices did they have in the state of Arizona that can be named the Sinema Postal Service?
Well, and you really, I mean, exactly. She's from a border state. I think that she is certainly vulnerable here in terms of people really being angry about this. When you use the word principle in a conversation involving this omnibus bill, I really find that an oxymoron. There are no principles in here whatsoever. By the way, the other guy that you had on, Larry, that I thought was excellent was Mike Braun. And I really felt the Indiana senator who wants to run for governor, and I thought he also articulated very well the fact that the Congress is basically making our country weaker and weaker with every year that passes, with every year that our debt continues to increase.
Yeah.
And by the way, what is the debt, the number for interest on our debt in this omnibus bill, I think is close to $500 billion. Am I right on that? $485 billion, something like that.
Sounds
it's
about right.
Staggering.
Yeah.
It is staggering.
He's
and that people need to understand that that begins to edge out major programs. We can't put the entire American government on the credit card, and that's kind of what we're doing right now. So Americans are commonsensical enough to know this is unsustainable. But
Mike
someone
Braun
has to kind of put, you know, make a bold first step, and boy, we sure didn't see that.
Mike Braun's an underrated guy, actually. We've watched him down through the years. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Liz Peek and Steve Moore and Bing Crosby. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Anyway, that's Bing Crosby whistling, by the way. I wish I could whistle like that. It could have been a whole different career if you think about it. Anyway, that's Bing Crosby, White Christmas. Someone should email it or text it to Joe Biden. This is Christmas. We are here with our Christmas favorites, Liz Peek and Steve Moore. I just want to toss in one thing, Steve. There's a big tax hike in this bill, and with Dan Clifton that pulled the plug on this, and it didn't get enough attention, but the Trump tax cuts, the bonus depreciation immediate expensing, completely runs out on the R&D tax credit. 20% of it runs out. You go from 100% expensing to 80% expensing. They didn't deal with that, And there was also an interest deduction for corporations. And they've already raised taxes on corporations in that stupid Inflation Reduction Bill. And I think this is an, you know, this is another very bad part of this bill. Republicans did not stand up for tax cuts. And yeah, everyone agrees the Trump tax cuts were a great success, except nobody stood up for it, really, until it was way too late. And it never got the attention it should have gotten. I just wanted to throw that in. Because we're going to have more problems extending the Trump tax cuts in whatever new budget comes up. We're going to have more problems with that. Anyway, Liz Peek, I had Dr. Robert Redfield on this show earlier segment in the second hour. And the reason I'm raising it, he was the CDC director. He was the guy who instituted Title 42, okay? And the point he makes, and this is where I'm going, he wrote a very good New York Post column with our friend Dr. Mark Siegel, a Fox contributor, that Title 42 should be upheld for public health reasons. It's not a political issue. And furthermore, it's there to protect the illegal immigrants themselves as much as anything else. It not only protects Americans, because they, you know, nobody can check them out for diseases, whether it's COVID or influenza or injuries crossing or dehydrating or whatever. But it protects the immigrants themselves. And that's why the thing should be extended. And I just wanted to raise that again because I think it's a very important point.
I think he's totally right. I mean, look, we're talking thousands of people now a day coming into our country. We have absolutely no idea what kinds of contagious diseases they might have. And by the way, when they're penned up, as they are at, you know, various points, or put together with other people in buses or planes or whatever, yeah, I mean, they're going to make people sick. And so, yes, I think just the sheer volume, Larry, and forget COVID. I mean, it could be any time. When you have this many people from all over the world coming across our border, and we don't have the sheer capacity to check them all out health-wise. Mm-hmm. I remember last year, wasn't it cholera that showed up in Los Angeles and the homeless population? Well, where did that come from? Who knows? Ebola has also made its way into our country through people coming in illegally. These are really risky undertakings, and we have no control over it whatsoever.
And, Steve, that last point Liz makes on homelessness was another thing that Redfield really emphasized. Homelessness is, unfortunately, disease-ridden. It is an epidemic. And a lot of the illegal immigrants wind up as homeless on top of these large city homeless communities that continue to grow. In other words, the bottom line here is this may, you know, the Bidens may see this as giving everybody asylum or giving everybody amnesty. This is a public health catastrophe in the making, and no one's talking about that. And I also asked Bob Redfield, I said, in your CDC circles, what are the Bidens putting together as a substitute for Title 42? He said he heard nothing. Yeah. There's nothing out there. And right. This is a potential catastrophe.
Yeah, look, I don't get what Biden is doing. I mean, Title 42 was a very convenient kind of out for Biden because, you know, his constituency just wants open borders. They want anybody to come in. They can't. And you know me for 30 years, Larry. I'm as pro-immigration as anyone. But you got to have a legal process for immigrants coming into the country. So I don't understand the politics of this. All Biden had to do was embrace Title 42, and it would have been a, you know, logical solution to this issue. One other quick thing that's related to this discussion, and it goes back to what we talked about the omnibus bill. The omnibus bill gives billions and billions of dollars more for the Center for Disease Control.
Yeah.
Everything the CDC has done for the last 3 years has been exactly the wrong thing to do. They screwed up COVID from day one. They shouldn't be rewarded with more money. You know, Milton Friedman used to say, the more an agency screws up, the more we think it needs more money. And that's exactly what's happened here. I would have zeroed out. That neat place needs to be cleaned out. They were in favor of lockdowns. They were in favor of shutting down the schools. They were in favor of maximizing dates. They were the ones that said that COVID was going to kill 2 or 3 million people. I mean, everything they did was wrong.
And by the way, they're also the people who told everyone that these inoculations, the vaccines, were going to prevent you from getting COVID. And so the credibility of our health authorities was completely demolished. And any impulse on the American public of going ahead and taking more vaccines, the rollout of the most recent vaccine has been wildly disappointing. Well, guess why? No one really understands whether it's worthwhile. Doctors are conflicted about it, and part of it goes back to the fact that the CDC was so adamant, as was Joe Biden, that if you get the shot, you're not going to get COVID, which was...
And by the way, Liz, the more that they mandate this, the more people don't want it.
Yeah,
I mean, that is exactly the opposite effect. And people are distrustful of the government. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
By the way, Redfield, it was a really interesting interview. Redfield said that when he promulgated the regulation for Title 42, the CDC bureaucracy was completely against it.
And, of course.
And leaked it out and attacked him mercilessly. So, I mean, this CDC thing needs to be reviewed. I'm sure it never will. We also, speaking of border closings, gave quite a bit of money to Tunisia and Egypt, as I recall, and Jordan. Liz, you think Americans are worried about the Tunisian border? They got about $450 million.
Yeah,
do you think Americans know where Tunis is or Tunisia is? I don't even know where it is. I do know where it is. I don't know how to say it.
I know where it is, but I actually don't know what their border problem is. I mean, there are countries that really have border problems, like Iraq, Syria. But I'm not sure. Ay, ay, ay. I don't know. I mean.
Come on. It was a pressing issue. The Tunisian border.
Larry, build the wall.
I know. Build the wall. And the other thing, Steve, is before we get too giddy on this, is for all of its good works, the FBI is getting a new $600 million building. The FBI is getting a new $600 million. The only battle is whether it's going to be in Maryland or Virginia. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's in this bill.
And Larry, I know we're running out of behind. The other one is the IRS commissioner now gets a limousine service.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That makes me feel better.
He doesn't have to use Uber. All right. Merry Christmas. Love, love, love. Happy New Year. Liz Peek, Steve Moore.
Merry Christmas, Larry. Merry Christmas,
guys.
Merry Christmas. Take care. Folks, I'm Larry Kudlow. This is going to go out with Bing Crosby, I'm sure. And we'll talk next weekend, possibly. Anyway, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Season's greetings. Good for baby Jesus. Bells in the snow.